Hello there. 12 minutes after 9 o'clock, time for the roundtable panel on WAMC. I'm Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. Joining us for the discussion today, oh boy, it's a good panel. We have publisher emeritus of the Kingston Daily Freeman, Ira Fussfeld, editor of the Daily Gazette, Judy Patrick, and our own Alan Shartok. And you can always let us know what you think. Be reasonably concise. Roundtable at WAMC.org is the email address. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Alan, the lockbox. They don't call you Alan Lockbox Shartok for nothing.
Lockjaw.
And we have about 37,500 to go to meet the big challenge from Mr. Big.
Well, that's incredible. I mean, think about where we're coming from. And now we have today, tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday, and we have to make $37,000. We get another $25,000 if we can do that.
Yeah.
And everybody's getting excited. People stop me at the street and say, oh, I have to get home to put something into the lockbox. They do.
There was a large crowd outside the studio. Alan and I walked in this morning. Everybody was talking.
And I'm asking personally. I mean, I'm putting my own kishkas on the line
okay,
here.
Okay, now kishka is defined?
Your internal organs.
Okay, fine. All right. He's putting his internal organs on the line.
I'm putting my internal organs on the line and saying, we have got to do this. We only have, how much did you just say?
I think 37,695.
Well, we have come a long way. Now, if everybody does that, we heard from a guy this morning, listener, Bruce Rowland of Lee, Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. He says he's so excited about the progress we've made that he's pledging to match up to a total of 1,000 in addition. If anybody else, if any contributions up to $1,000 that come in by 10 o'clock this morning after the show.
Okay, so basically before Megan comes in to do the update at the end of this hour.
Yeah. Well, including when she's in here to do the update at the end of this hour.
So in other words, where are we now?
Yeah, how much is in the lockbox right now?
287,305. And we need 325 to get the extra 25,000.
And what is the total amount you want to raise in the fund drive this
time? $1 million.
Understood.
You're such a good reporter, Judy, and it's why we love you. And that's right, you are. I mean, she's asking the right questions.
Okay, I'm asking this question again. Now, this challenge
I'm not so sure.
From Bruce in Lee, Mass.
Yes.
He'll
give 1,000 if we get up to 1,000 in this hour,
okay.
This very hour.
And where are we exactly right now?
318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York.
Let me see that for a minute. Where are we right now? We are at 387,305, which means we have to get to... we are at 287,305.
Yeah.
We need to get to 288,305 by the time Megan comes in this morning at just before 10 for our lockbox update. So...
How can you do it? You go to
WAMC.org
and click on the lockbox.
That is correct, sir.
That's one way. So, the other way is to dial 1-800-323-9262, extension...
145, and WAMC.org works really well. So he is pledged to match up to a total of $1,000. Any contributions made to the lockbox by 10 o'clock this morning. We'll let you know how we do a little later on.
But by the way, that's a really nice. But the real issue here is just getting this done. We need to get it done. It's so close. I have no nails left. I'm just biting them like
You're
crazy.
Biting your nails?
Look like crazy.
Ira?
When I was growing up in the Bronx, we used kishkas as a name for stuffed derma. Does that sound right to you?
Kishka, yeah.
That's derma?
Stuffed derma.
Stuffed derma is a Jewish delicatessen treat that's like a skin stuffed with grain. And
well, the skin is internal stuff.
Yeah, but this what it's stuffed with is edible as opposed to the internal organs that you were
describing. I never found it so edible.
So this is not exactly haggis. This is grain.
Haggis. Haggis is inedible.
This is sort of tasty. I recommend it. Stuffed derma.
But the more you could begin to look like a stuffed derma.
All right, sir. Let's get right on to our stuff for today. And once again, the email address here is roundtable at WAMC.org. As heard on these airwaves, President Obama made a commencement address at West Point yesterday. He tried, this is quoting from the New York Times, once again to articulate his vision of the American role in the world, telling graduating cadets that the nation they were being called to serve would seek to avoid military misadventures abroad, even as it confronts a new set of terrorist threats from the Middle East. The president has become increasingly convinced that while the U.S. must play a vital role beyond its borders, it should avoid getting dragged into the quicksand of international crises that have trapped some of his predecessors. It's time for an end to what he called a long season of war. Some critics say, wait a minute, there was a piece in the Washington Post.
Times beat the hell out of him this morning. Their editorial was very mean-spirited, I thought, and wrong.
Elliot Abrams, who was, of course, a national security advisor to President Bush, wrote in the Washington Post yesterday, and I'll quote here, "The president railed against critics who think military intervention is the only way for America to avoid looking weak and insisted that U.S. military action cannot be the only or even primary component of leadership. He kindly informed us that a strategy that involves invading every country that harbors terrorist networks is naive and unsustainable. He thanked himself for the decision that we should not put American troops into the middle of this increasingly sectarian civil war in Syria as if anyone anywhere had suggested doing so."
Well, wait a second now. The guys he were working for were sending hundreds of thousands of young men and women into those places. So let's not be that imperious, Mr. Abrams. The fact of the matter is this president has put himself on the line, has said, I'm going to withdraw those troops. We're not going to put people at risk. They don't. And I'm saying they don't want us there anyway, the regular citizens of the place. I mean, who are we? And he's taking all these kids out of harm's way. God bless him is what I say.
Andy Berwitz is a friend of the station, he's a commentator and a humorist. He tweeted something this morning, and I'm paraphrasing closely, I believe, where he said, Obama is forced to defend his controversial position of not sending troops into other countries. The point being, you know, he in the minds of many, including mine, this is a president who campaigned originally on this kind of a foreign policy, who vowed to get us out of wars, who recognizes that as he, I thought very well put it yesterday, even though you have the best hammer, you don't have to hit every nail, is trying to use some restraint and not go into places where it's just going to be a morass. I dare say the kind of a policy that people of my generation, not universally, but many people in my generation who were in college during the Vietnam War wish we had that policy back then. Obama has not shown an unwillingness to get involved when it was important that we get involved, but he's basically saying we're just not going to get involved all the time, and I happen to agree with that policy.
He didn't say, by the way, Ira, we shouldn't go in. He said we shouldn't put boots on the ground. Yeah. He's going to go in all
the time. Oh, right. Well, that's right. He's got other tools to his command now. Yeah.
You know, this kind of a policy is kind of amorphous, which is hard to articulate in a speech, and that's one of the things he's getting criticized for a lot. But also keep in mind the reaction from around the world. The Associated Press had a story today that talked about people in Europe were receptive to this, the idea that, you know, the U.S. is not going to stomp all over the world and impose its will. So the reaction inside the United States is interesting, but also you got to look at what's happening around the world. Not everybody wants that strong, vigorous descent of American troops.
Including, Judy, you're so wise, including the fact that when you poll the people in the countries we send the boots to, they don't want it either.
But still, 160,000 people have been killed in Syria, which is hard to ignore. You know, the United States, it's hard for us to not do anything about it or not to be aware of.
But are we the only ones? In other words, there are international organizations. There are people who this stuff can be worked through. I love the fact that when you have stuff in Africa, the Africans go in and do this. I don't know who appointed us God.
Well, I'm not sure that anybody can figure out what can be done in Syria if we thought it made sense to go in Syria, and it is such a mess there. The deaths and destruction are horrible, and if only it could be stopped. But you know, I think the president is wisely learning from what this country has gotten itself involved with in recent years, saying if we send people in there now, is it going to help or is it going to hurt, and how long are we going to be there? And if there was a magic bullet, no pun intended, that the president could say, let's send 100,000 troops into Syria, we'll straighten out this mess in about 6 months and then bring them home. You know, I don't know that anybody would disagree, but we've heard that song before from other administrations.
The email address here is roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. Before we take our break, Judy, you looked like you had something to say.
Well, Alan called her wise, so we're hanging on every word.
You know, I was thinking about all the refugees from Syria, and at least the United States is trying to help the neighboring countries deal with that refugee crisis, which is enormous at this point.
Yeah. We had a letter. Can I mention it?
Certainly.
Tom called and said, how does one get the roundtable video feed? I'd like to see you guys. Now, you yourself are the webmaster in many other positions that you have around here. Can you tell them how to do that?
Sure. Go to WAMC.org. There is a link at the top. I believe it says live video. And click on that, and you should be able to watch it.
Then you should tell us whether there's a microphone in front of our faces so that you can't see us. And then the brilliant engineers from upstairs will come down and adjust the microphone so that you can see us.
Right. I mean, if you want to. And I don't know if that's the best plan. Hey, Dave, let's take a break. We'll be back. It's the Roundtable.
Support comes from William Pitt Sotheby's International Realty, a real estate firm serving the Berkshire region with local representatives and global connections. WilliamPitt.com for listings. The Mack Hayden Theater, Chatham, New York, announcing the 46th season of professional musical theater with 8 shows, including Sondheim Putting It Together, opening May 22nd and running through June 1st. MackHaydenTheater.org. Albany College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences, offering undergraduate and graduate programs in a range of health-related fields. ACPHS.edu. And Harrington's Lumber, Millwork, and Building Supplies, offering Marvin windows and doors, handcrafted in America, energy efficient and available with customization options. We share your passion, Harrington's.com.
Well, if you had been listening during the break, you would have heard our director, Alan Chartok, directing the camera placement here for the video feed of our radio program. And Alan, why don't you elucidate your ideas on the topic?
Well, we have a crack engineering staff here at WAMC. Mm-hmm. And in their office, there is a big sort of monitor.
Yeah.
And they can see whether or not your beautiful face is being closed down by the fact that there's a microphone in front of it, obstructed.
Right. Now, I point out that we need microphones.
No, you could do it. See, you could move it this way so you're talking to it out of the side of your mouth.
Yeah.
And then the camera can get a direct view of you. As opposed to, if it's right in the between you and the camera. That's why we have a crack engineering staff.
Now, I must admit, I agree with Ira's take on this.
Which is, what is Ira's take?
We're on the radio. You know, I don't want to speak for the very attractive Judy, and I don't want to speak for Alan because he's done.
I avoid it, and you're not supposed to say.
Well, there's a point.
That's
I don't want to lump Judy into my punchline here, but and Alan did TV for years and years and years, so he's used to being in front of the camera.
Yep.
I would venture to say, and Ray, forgive me in advance, there's a reason why you went into radio and I went into newspapers.
Yeah.
We do not have the faces for TV.
Actually,
so.
You guys, no, I take great exception to that. You know, who were the great stars of the Watergate hearings? Guys like Peter Rodino and Sam Ervin.
Yeah.
These were not square-jawed Bruce Wayne type guys. They were human beings, and they became the most popular people in America.
Really? The most popular people in America?
Without question.
Well, I'll be darned. That I did not know. The email address here is roundtable@wamc.org if you want to weigh in on this interesting conversation.
What do you mean weigh in?
roundtable@wamc.org. Seriously, is this a civil war a-brewing in Ukraine? Now, the news today, bad. At least 14 people, according to CNN, including a general, were killed Thursday when a Ukrainian military helicopter was shot down by terrorists near Slovyansk, acting President Alexander Turchynov told Parliament. So, are we now over the edge? Is this a civil war?
Well, I've thought we were facing civil war from the very first day that Putin made his intentions known to take back as much of this as he could. And clearly, he's got surrogates working for him. On the other hand, there's just been an election which a lot of people in Ukraine have made it plain they do not want the Putinistic government that is being offered from the East. I think, though, that it depends upon his determination. But it could be a very bad scene. And I got news for you. The Ukrainians, the Kievians, seem to me quite clearly ready to go. There is that.
Now, being directed by the assistant
we
floor
don't have
manager
to talk
here.
About that. See, okay. That's the thing about television. Well, they come in, they do their job. You don't have to say that that Pat from engineering is down here moving the thing around.
Where is makeup? Makeup?
Check, please.
I think to get serious about this, I agree with Alan. It sounded to me from the result of that election that the Ukrainians are hardly eager to embrace Putin. But I'm still going to hang my hat on the impact of sanctions and financial sanctions. There seems to be some indication that they were beginning to work and they were hurting people who have money in Russia, some of Putin's closest people. It was hurting the ruble and the hammer, to use the expression that Obama used in his speech yesterday, could be widening these financial sanctions. So I think he's given reason for pause. I think I saw a headline in Tom Friedman's column the other day in the Times saying that Putin had blinked. And
How did he blink? By signing a $1 trillion-plus deal with China?
I was going to mention that.
Yeah, well, that's a whole other arena.
It's the same thing.
It's another offshoot, sure. So that's a very – nobody said this is easy.
And also we now have, apparently, four European observers who have been missing since Monday being held by separatist militants.
You know, for the last month or so, it seemed that these were scattered outbreaks of violence, but it does seem to be intensifying the last, 10 days or so.
Well, do you think they're taking orders from Moscow?
Well, I don't know what they're doing, but I think you do have to really separate. Are these isolated incidents, or is this a real pattern, and is it building? And it does seem, from afar, from here in Albany, New York, to be building.
And that's a great point. It is from afar, but it does appear that a certain level has been reached. If military helicopters shot down 14 dead as of today, what's the end game here? Oh, wise Alan, tell us. You have 12 seconds.
No, the answer is anybody who says they know would have to have access to Putin's brain, because I do think that's where a lot of this is coming from. Now, the problem is that sometimes you take some of the thugs who are out there and you give them license, and they know that they have some backing. And then when you try to take it back or to modify it, they're out there. They're not going to stop. So that is another... Mm-hmm. Another aspect to all of this.
What's the answer to the Bill Maher question, which is, who cares about Ukraine? Why do we feel it's important? Why should we be getting involved? Why should let them sort it out themselves? Does it have any real impact on us?
Well, there's a premise, and the premise is that it stops at Ukraine.
And that's where we will stop this segment of the Roundtable. The email address, roundtable@wamc.org. Alan will read letters after the news. roundtable@wamc.org. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC. Welcome back to the Roundtable on this Thursday morning. 9:36 is the time. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. We're joined by Ira Fussfeld, publisher emeritus of the Kingston Daily Freeman, Judy Patrick of the Daily Gazette in Schenectady, and our own Alan Chartok.
Oh.
Yes.
Can I just say something? Ira just said something to me. I just want to make sure that we set the record straight. Somebody came up to you and said,
yes,
what,
someone came up to me who purported to be a friend of Sean Eldridge, who is a candidate for Congress in the Hudson Valley. And he alleged that Alan would not interview him on the air or would not have him on the air. And I said I didn't know the specifics, but I would be shocked if that was the case.
Well, not only should you be shocked, because we have done it at least twice already, and we will do it as many times as he wants to be on the air. We have no problem with that. We never shut out anybody. That's what Congressional Corner is all about. That's why we do it. And I take seriously, I can't believe Eldridge himself said anything like that. Because if he did, he and I are going to have to be out there on the something.
The Weehawken plane. Well, he got some bad publicity a while back in an article in Politico that suggested he was not responding to their request for interviews, and I don't know if that was accurate, but if it was, it came out worse for him than if he had to.
I think
a defense attorney would
too.
Say this is hearsay evidence.
Yes,
hearsay. Okay, but I just want to, yes. When there are these rumors floating around, you want to put a stop to them right away.
Right.
Fair enough. or broadcast them over the radio. That's the other option. The email address here is roundtable@wamc.org.
So it is.
roundtable@wamc.org. Alan, we have some email.
Yes, yes, we do. We heard from Wesley.
Ah.
What did Wesley say? Wesley said, headline of the week from today's Times Union, Russian spy says role was not low. That's from Wes in Schenectady.
Okay.
I don't exactly understand, but I think that this question of the interview, which I think may be one of the top things that we should be talking about.
We are going to talk about.
So he's characterizing Snowden as a Russian spy.
Right. Let me say this. My view, I have always felt this, is you can't have democracy unless you have information. And if there's information out there, like we're spying on millions of Americans, we certainly ought to know it. And the fact that he put this out there and says that he has not done anything that is unpatriotic, and you got John Kerry going on the television saying he's a coward, and you know, this is not a healthy situation.
We should just clarify. We're talking about Ed. You want to do that, right?
Yeah, sure. If you missed the interview, I'll read this first paragraph here from the New York Times. Snowden says he was a spy.
It was Edward Snowden, the whistleblower, quote unquote, or spy.
That's, I'm reading the headline, and then I'll read his name is in the first paragraph. Snowden says he was a spy, not just an NSA analyst. Now, here comes the first paragraph with his name. It's the New York Times.
He's a spy for us.
Edward J. Snowden said that he's... All right, it's by Elaine... Boy, you're really killing me today, Ira. This is by Elena Schneider and Steve Kenny of the New York Times. Ready? First paragraph. Dateline, Washington. Edward J. Snowden said that he still considered himself to be an American patriot, even after leaking thousands of classified documents, and that he was frustrated to be, quote, stuck in a place, Russia, that did so little to protect individual rights when he was trying to help protect American freedoms. Mr. Snowden made the comments in an hour-long interview on Wednesday night with Brian Williams of NBC News, in which he tried to justify his actions and explain why he had accepted refuge from President Putin of Russia. He said he was alarmed that the Russian government was cracking down on freedom of the press, calling it deeply unfair. And he said he had no relationship with the Russian government. Up to then, one would presume.
Yeah, and he reacted. He said he's not a low-level analyst, as the U.S. government has tried to portray him. But instead, he said he was a trained spy who worked under assumed names overseas for the CIA and the National Security Agency.
Right.
A great interview, by the way, by NBC.
To make it clear, he was a spy for us.
A spy for us, for the NSA.
Now, why
does
this make any difference? I've had a difficult time understanding why what he was called, whether he was a spy, an analyst, or whatever, he still leaked all the documents. So,
by the way, he says he did not leak all the documents. He said he leaked the ones that were important for Americans to know, as opposed to anything that could hurt any of the operatives out there. He said that in the interview. I think that's very important.
That's important, but what he calls himself really isn't. And
No. He's saying they're trying to minimize him by saying he was not an important person. He was a low-level person.
He was characterized from the beginning as a little more than a bureaucrat, a clerk, who was not even an employee of the government, but who was an independent contractor, who somehow had access to these documents. And there was pausing there for a second. Many of us said, wow, why, if these documents are so secretive, was an independent contractor allowed to have access to them? And then he was the one who made public these documents, and he's now saying, no, wait a minute, that's not what I was. I was a lot higher up than the food chain than that.
So in a way, this is reassuring to those of us who said, what the heck is going on with the military, intelligence apparatus?
In that sense, it's not as reassuring to those who would say, if you hire somebody to do a job that has particularly sensitive information attached to it, we like to think that you're going to be confidential about it and you're not going to release it to the world.
And I'm a little concerned about Kerry making these very dramatic, using words like coward and this and that. I don't think that speaks well of our Secretary of State, number one. And number two, he should remember when he was running for office that people were calling him really despicable names about his personal valor in Vietnam and the rest. He should be very careful.
He was particularly strident on these comments, and the analysts were saying this was a side of Kerry that we'd not seen in public, and it spoke more to the inherent anger that Kerry and the administration has about this action that Snowden did, and as it relates to Kerry, the information that was released that made us look bad in front of our allies, Kerry was the front man. He would have to go to meetings. I think Chuck Todd of NBC was saying, you know, they would go to these meetings and the Germans or whomever would say, you know, oh, where's the NSA is probably listening to what we're saying right now. So it made him look bad.
The Germans should have known that to begin with, though, right?
Okay, because they invented it.
No,
but I mean, other countries should know that.
So that's okay, in other words. If they're spying on you and they're spying...
I'm just saying they may protest too much.
Yeah, I get it.
No, I don't think so. I think if you find out that Angela Merkel's telephone was being tapped by this country, they have a legitimate gripe and should say something, don't you?
But isn't Ray's point that President Obama's telephone may be tapped by Angela Merkel?
Yeah, I doubt it. I think that the chances are much less. Look, Kerry, as far as Kerry's personality, I'm sure he has, you know, many variety parts of his personality. He probably has 57.
I was just going to say it, and I decided not to.
You know, name calling is such a popular part of the political debate, and it so obscures a real discussion of the issue. What Snowden did, what the impact of it was, what the government's responsibility was. But, you know, nowadays with cable TV, you get so much name calling takes up 45% of the talk.
I think that the position of more people in this country is that the glass is half full regarding Snowden. People are, I think, domestically wanted to know and did not realize the extent to which we were being spied on, in effect, by our own government in our own country, and are cheering for him to release that. I think there's less ebullience about what he did as it relates to foreign policy and the kinds of things that Kerry was complaining about.
The email address here is roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@.
Does anybody know whether people are putting anything in because we have to match that 1,000?
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. I should mention that, and we will get an update from Megan Finnegan shortly. Sure. We have a listener, Bruce Rowland of Lee, Mass., who's very excited about the progress of the lockbox, and it's going well, although we only have 4 days to go.
I have no fingernails left.
So he's pledged to match up to a total of $1,000 just for this hour. Any contributions made to the lockbox. We started the hour at 9 o'clock with 287,305 in the lockbox. That means we had to get to 288,305 by the time Megan comes in for our morning lockbox update.
But the bigger issue is getting it done. I mean, we only have till Monday morning, and it is so important to know. I mean, you know, get it in now, because here's what happens. If you're going to send it in an envelope, it's much better to do it online at WMC.org, because... Think about this. We set up at 6 o'clock on Monday morning.
Yep.
We're going to be sitting here at 6 o'clock, you and I.
We are.
Raymond, on Monday morning. We won't know, think about this, about what's in the mail until then.
No, we don't want to hear the yodeling until the end of the week.
All right.
Come on, let's not cheapen this.
Let's take a break, Hopper. We'll be back on the roundtable.
Support comes from Emma Willard, an all-girl boarding school working to help students discover their own voices. EmmaWillard.org. SPAC, presenting Martha Graham Dance Company with 2 Graham Works, Appalachian Spring and the Rite of Spring, and the company's new work, Echo, June 12th. SPAC.org for tickets. Albany Marriott, with 359 guest rooms, special event and meeting space with internet access, the Market Restaurant and Martini Lounge, and airport transportation. Facebook, Twitter, or albanymarriott.com. And New York Pain Management, offering pain management for chronic pain and spine care in a private office setting with Drs. Charles Gordon and Quentin Fung. Be set free, nypainfree.com.
Nine 47 on a Thursday morning. It's the roundtable panel. Ira Fussfeld, Judy Patrick, Alan Shartok, and Ray Graff here. And Judy, in your fine... you got a letter?
We got a letter or two.
All right.
Michael says, "No man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of continent, and any man's death diminishes me because I am involved in mankind. Therefore, never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee, John Donne." And that's from Annette. Well, all right. And then Felicia Burke wrote us from our staff.
Really?
Said, "Everybody get all your stuff out of the refrigerator because the fund drive is coming on Monday."
Thank
I thought you
Felicia.
Should know that. Beth Jacobs says, "You don't even believe your claim that sanctions are working. They don't work against Japan in World War II, and nor have they ever worked anywhere else, and that only hurt the lower classes." Okay. And then... And then Michael said, we love Ray. Don't call him ugly. Nobody called him ugly. Did anybody hear anybody say
I don't
ugly?
Recall being called ugly.
No,
this
you
morning.
Guys were being. You guys
said
were being,
that Ray and I had faces for newspapers and radio.
You
and not
said
for
that,
TV.
Though. We
yes,
didn't
no,
say
No, you
it.
Didn't say that.
Okay. We would never call you
no,
ugly.
No.
So, anyway, Judy Patrick works at the Daily Gazette in Schenectady.
She's the editor.
It's a fine newspaper and some casino news and a fascinating story about tests that have been invalidated.
Yeah, I want to start with casinos. Schenectady is one of the places in the running for a casino. The state legislature or the state voters approved the casinos being built in upstate New York. And so there is a proposal for an old abandoned site along the Mohawk River called the Elko site. Key part to getting a casino site approved is to get local approvals. The Schenectady City Council has not yet acted on whether or not it will endorse this casino project. One of the, and we wrote today about it's kind of a process story because the city council wants to have a public hearing on this before they vote. And tradition holds in Schenectady that you don't vote on an issue the same night you have a public hearing. That you know you need a little bit of time to talk about such things. And they need to take action before the end of June. In Schenectady, they really want more information, more details. The developer is reportedly coming into town early in June to unveil this details, how big it will be, how big the parking lot will be, all sorts of things that we don't yet know. So that issue's out there. And the city council at this point appears divided. A couple of people are against it. There's a couple of swing votes out there. So it's not clear whether or not they're going to go.
And even the fact that there may be a public hearing is up in the air because apparently they don't have to have a public hearing.
It's true. They don't have to have a public hearing. And in our newspaper, we have heard a lot from the public about this. Not a tremendous outpouring of opinion, but people are starting to speak up, and there have been people who have turned out at city council meetings. But again, we haven't heard from the public. Really, hasn't had a chance to see exactly what's being proposed, how many jobs, what the financing is. Is going to be? Is it going to require any public funding?
So, and they're only going to select one in the capital region. Is that correct?
Right.
Two in the Hudson Valley, one in the capital region, one upstate.
Right, and there's a handful of alternatives besides the Schenectady ones that
is
they have to
Route
choose
23
from.
When you're coming up the
is there
freeway?
A favorite here? I mean,
I suspect the Route 23 that, is in the lead.
You do?
I suspect
the exit 23 or the Route 23?
No, exit 23. Okay. I'm so sorry.
Up in Albany.
Right. Yeah,
you
right.
really think Albany is the front runner here?
I do.
You know, I think somewhere there's a pool going on. Which one is going to win the...
It's probably in a newsroom near you.
Because there's quite a scrum going on in the Hudson Valley. A lot of slash Catskills, and there are going to be two there. And the thing to watch there is, are they going to select one of the two in Orange County, which
close
is
to
the
New
southern
York City.
Most, closer to New York City. Because if they do that, it is going to thwart one of the initial reasons for the Catskills
absolutely.
Having casinos, which is reinvigorating the economy in Sullivan County and or Ulster County. And if you can go to a casino from New York City and only have to drive to Newburgh or Woodbury Commons, you're not going to go to Monticello, you're not going to go to Ellenville.
And let's make sure that we look at the politicians who have huge war chests and see who gave what. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Well, and also let's look at the number of jobs, who's paying for it to be built, what the local control will be, and what the impact on the local economy is going to be, too.
All right.
Also, we have a story, an interesting story about those Common Core tests in Shelmet, the school district. This is a suburban school district in Schenectady County. They had a problem with their tests. What happened? And the state has come in and done an investigation. They've invalidated the test. It doesn't mean the kids have to take them again. It doesn't mean it's going to be counted against the kids. The school district, in fact, is going to use these tests for evaluation procedures. But what the
they are?
Yeah, they
even
are.
Even though they're invalidated?
Yeah, even though they're invalidated, I think... I don't know what the point of the invalidation was. It has some potential to affect the school's rating at the end of the year, whether or not it's going to be determined making adequate yearly progress. That's a state education analysis. But what happened was some of the tests they gave last year, somebody held on to them and used them as practice tests for the students, is my understanding of what happened.
Just like the old Regents exams. That's and the way
sure.
we used to take them.
Certainly. And, you know,
and that's
as,
not allowed?
And, you know, we at the newspaper have asked the state for a copy of the exam, and they've not given us a copy of the exam. Mm-hmm. In part, one of the reasons, or our key reason, is the fact that they apparently use some of the questions, again, as, you know, as markers almost, and they may use some or part of the exam, and so they don't want those questions out there widely distributed for kids to test on. So that is the reason. We get sample questions, but we've never been able to get the whole test.
The last sigh of the Moor on the Spanish regions. 2 points every time. What was the name of the Moor who left when Ferdinand and Isabella came in? Boabdil. 2 points every regions.
2 points for Alan. I'm still having trouble understanding why and how you can invalidate tests and still use them for evaluation purposes. It's a little odd.
Well, we're going to use them for evaluation purposes inside the school, but not. It doesn't affect the kids' grades. There, it won't be factored into the grades, but teachers will use them to determine if students need further educational support. The district will still have access to the results for those kinds of purposes. And the results will, and then parents can also ask the principal to see their kids' results. So it's not like the results are evaporating. But in terms of the officialdom, they won't be showing up on any state education database.
And your website, Judy?
DailyGazette.com.
All right. Alan, very quickly, let's read an email, and then we'll take a brief break and get Megan in here, and we'll find out how we did.
Okay. Dan says, looking at his age and resume, it seems fair to observe that Sean Eldridge needs some seasoning and skill set growth before he's a serious candidate. Your observation. Not my observation. Okay. And then we got one from Walker, who says, we need to remember there's an inside game and an outside game. And the world leaders all know they do as much as they are capable of doing it, but they do not want this known by the public in their respective countries. That is what enraged Merkel and the others, and this is the position Snowden put everybody in. Of course, Kerry is ticked.
Okay.
And there are more, but we don't have time.
We need to take a brief breather here, just a moment. Dave Hopper, our engineer, and we'll get Megan Finnegan in here, and then we'll find out if we made the challenge.
This is Capital Region Bureau Chief Dave Lucas. Today on Midday Magazine, the saga of the Albany Bear. A cub trapped up a tree across the street from a public school in a residential neighborhood where Assemblywoman Pat Fahey lives. Fahey was among those who locked horns with the DEC in a struggle to save the Bruin's life.
But the policy is to euthanize a bear when it's moved into densely populated areas this often, and this is the third time.
Because of his injuries, the bear was euthanized, but there's more to the story. You'll hear it today at noon on Midday Magazine with Brian Shields here on WAMC.
Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC 955. Now, we had a challenge this morning in our lockbox, which, of course, the fund drive starts on Monday morning. And the goal is to reach $325,000.
The big challenge is $25,000 we get if we can make this. And we're getting closer all the time. We started this morning under $40,000, $37,000, something like that. And then we had a wonderful man call up and say, $1,000 if you can get another $1,000. And here's Megan, Megan.
We not only did we make the $1,000 challenge, we exceeded it by quite a bit. People are calling in actually as we speak, so it's a little hard to keep track of exactly how much we made, but more than $3,000 in the last hour since
Bruce
Wow, thanks,
called
Bruce.
In. Yeah, Bruce is awesome, and he's coming in to volunteer next week, too.
Terrific. Okay. Now, I had asked you yesterday to do a little homework. You know, one of the things we can give or you can get with your pledge to the lockbox is a personalized WAMC mug, have your name on it. So what's the most popular one? I asked this yesterday.
Well, I didn't know yesterday, but I did my homework like you asked, and we have a three-way tie right now between Bill, Bob, and Carol.
Bill, Bob, and Carol.
But we also have some really interesting, I don't know if you want to take a look at these, Ray, but we have some interesting names that people have asked to have put on their mug, including Cup of Char Talk.
Cup of Char Talk.
2 weeks later, she was married.
I like that. To Char Talk.
Well, we do. We have a Mike Loves Dana, too. So
I love opera. Yeah. That's nice. And then something you can't say. But, you know, that's nice that you're printing them anyway, Megan Finnegan.
Yes.
So the fund drive.
Major Megan.
The fund drive starts on Monday.
Major Megan through A.
Oh, Deegan.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So the fund drive starts on Monday. Where are we in the lockbox at this moment?
Well, it's changing every minute. You can watch it online. But right now, when I walked in, we had $289,740, which means that we have just over $35,000 to go, and we have 4 days to make it.
Oh, boy.
We're going to do it.
If we make it, we get another $25,000 from Mr. Big.
Yeah.
So we would start the fund drive on Monday with $350,000.
A third of the way through.
Which would be amazing, right?
Yeah, that would be great.
So
God bless everybody.
We'll be there anyway. Mm-hmm. You and I will be there. You'll be there.
You'll be looking at me. I'll be looking at you.
Should I bring the bagels? Blueberry is your favorite,
I don't eat
right?
Those things.
You don't?
No, those are a bagel's like 5 points.
Okay. Some inside baseball here, folks. To those who have never actually been to the fun drive, Alan will eat bagels by day three of the drive.
I did last time.
Over-under is 3 days.
I did not. I'm not going to screw this all up.
How many points do you work off being on air like that?
That's a great point.
That's a point?
No, that's a great observation.
I think it's at least a great 5 points.
I mean, you expend a lot of calories yapping it up.
I take some exception to the word yapping.
All right. This is a fine way to end the program. The fun drive starts on Monday. The lockbox at WAMC.org. Ira Fussfeld, I bet you didn't know what you were getting into.
I absolutely did, and I'm only sorry that next Thursday is not my week on the Media Project, because that's the only time we have bagels is during the fun drive.
So. I think that's a shot, Alan.
That's a shot.
Maybe you should cater the Media Project.
Maybe not.
All right. Judy Patrick. Thank you for being here.
Who did not know what she was getting into this morning, but I'm still glad to be here.
And I hope that Ira won't be talking about how attractive you are anymore.
Oh, and that's a great way to leave it. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.